Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Latham, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
So, last time Roger went and saw Mrs. Lewis, related to Mr. Wayne, or tangentially related to Mr. Wayne and his cat craziness and drawings, talked about her breed, how it hasn't been approved as a cat breed. There's something going on with that. She was angry about it, but hiding it or trying to hide it. There was a whole bunch of money collecting and gathering and planning at the auction for this horn. And it's not related to Naboo, or at least not culturally the same. And we met up with Audrey. Maud got her to go in with us so that we could pool more resources. She thought the item was stolen from the museum. Oswald saw Odie Mortimer, an old member of the club who was kicked out, friends with Delgato, and Archibald cozied up with Helmsworth, and there's some occultists they're interested in, members of the Esoteric Order of the Golden Dawn. I got the background from, or Oswald got the background from the club president. It was related to some theft of some Assyrian items, but someone else had confessed to the theft. So kind of up in the air, a little sketchy, very interested in the item, almost won it, but we outbid him in the end. And then a lawyer, Sir Hardin Bailey, came up to Agatha about a meeting with his client. And then there was some sort of newspaper clipping we got that I'm not going to take the time to read at the moment.
It was for Jim anyway. We don't see it.
Ah, well, there you go. And Jim can recap that when it gets to him.
Yeah, that's great. Let's get started with the auction crew first, because it's still, you know, the auction started around 8. It's probably over around 10:30 or so. Some general milling around. There was some internal discussion over what your next steps were. Some people who had strong opinions not being here today, so, haha.
Aha! Yeah, thought the consensus-ish was headed to, was going to take the thing and go to the dude's house. That's pretty useful, right? Yeah. Theodore.
The horn to Theodore
Price. The horn to Theodore, yes. With the museum, Agatha, nope, the museum woman in tow if she would like to come.
Yes. I'm just I think my paranoia is growing. I don't even know if we can trust Theodore. I mean, we never did see Nev again. And here he shows out of the blue and he can't bid on the item himself. I just thought is and just a dither.
Oh, don't dither. No, I agree. I think, but I feel like with a group of us, perhaps we can figure out what he's up to.
Well, he definitely gave you his address. He's on North London, Hampstead Heath area, right next to a fairly major park area. He's got as you're going there, you know, he's got a small house, 3 stories, red brick. Right on the fringe of the Vale of Heath, which is the Vale of Health, sorry, which is the area that's got, you know, trees and ivy and wildlife and whatever. Yeah. Just going to walk up and knock on the door?
Yes. He was expecting us to come after the auction.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So he is there, and he looks anxiously. Were you able to secure it? Were you able to get it? Audrey, how are you? How are you?
Do let us come in and have a drink.
Oh, yes, of course. But
he opens up look the around. Door. I want to look around on the street to see who of the many miscreants might have followed us here.
Sure. Let's do a spot.
09 is a hard success.
Hard success. There is a car that sort of stopped around the same time you did. As you sort of look over at it in the darkness, it starts up its engine and heads back out. And all you see is it's definitely a man. He's definitely got some sort of facial hair and a hat on. A curious thing to wear in a car.
Well, yes, let us come in, but I'm fairly sure that we should not stay here too long. There were many people who seemed quite interested in the horn, and I suspect some of them are quite wealthy and quite powerful, perhaps. But
come in, of course.
Thank you.
So it's a, you know, this house isn't built for luxury. You know, the downstairs, he leads you into a library / study area. It's, you know, it's covered in newspaper clippings and books, police reports and what. There are sculptures as you're sort of walking in. The library itself has got sort of a lot of books, and he says, "So, please tell me, were you able to get it?"
Yes, we were. Although we had to join forces with Audrey here, and I think the plan is for you to study it, but for it to belong to the museum.
Oh, that seems perfectly reasonable. Yes, excellent. Of course. May I see it?
Somebody must have the box. Maybe I have the box.
I assume sure. It's been you, or perhaps your... Maybe one of the men folk took it from you. I don't know.
I hope so.
It seems unlikely. I don't mean about them. I just mean about sort of my view of it. Lady Agatha is not, she's not the sort to just sort of hand it over. So,
so I'll open it up.
Yeah. He looks at it and his eyes light up, you know, you get the sense that, like, you know, he's, and it's not in a, you know, there's no, not in a kind of way, but more just sort of this marvelous item is in front of him. It's more of a boyish excitement. And he's like, this is amazing. Look at these carvings here. I think this may be the answer to quelling the unrest that seems to have been caused by the opening of the tomb and the removal of its items. I assume you're aware of its history?
Not at all.
Sorry, were you saying something, Rachel? I couldn't.
No, we don't know. Please tell us.
Well, yes. Well, this is not dedicated to Naboo. It's dedicated to a different god, Anu, and his demonic servant, the great bull of the underworld. Now, his servant, Anu, is an evil spirit, but is often used by his lord as a watcher or guardian, shepherding wayward souls to the underworld, so the legends say. I feel like this relic here may be the cure. I would like to study it if you would permit me.
I believe that was the idea, but
my working theory is that the bringing of the items from Naboo has released the curse of Nineveh here, and I'm hoping that this horn in some way can be used under the right conditions to sort of herd all of the elements that have sort of found its way into our city back to where they need to be.
Ah. That seems, I guess, reasonable, because it could continue its guard duties, so to speak.
Exactly so. I'm not entirely... So normally guardians are to keep out outsiders, but there's some lore, and he sort of picks up a book off a table that's, you know, written in some language. There's lore that suggests that perhaps the guardian was meant to keep things inside the tomb rather than keep outsiders from getting into the tomb. I don't know what your plans are. You're welcome to stay here for the night if you wish. I'm going to study this item.
I am quite worried about and I will let's see, who was it? I guess it's Mr. Judge and Mr. Mortimer.
Yes. Where
is Lewis?
Yes.
We're all and they seem to be working together, and I feel like at least one of them followed us here. So
perhaps staying would be a good idea.
Really, so either staying or all of us going elsewhere.
Oh, I would prefer to stay if we could. I've got my books and charms here.
Well, then let's set up shop and get to work.
Yeah.
I'll make some tea.
Oh, wonderful. I'll help.
Excellent. I do have guest rooms upstairs, if any of you wish.
I don't think we'll be sleeping, but yes.
Well, at the very least, you can freshen up.
Very good.
What time is it now?
It's probably 11? Around 11:30 or so, by the time you've gotten over there and sort of done all the things, yeah.
Is Audrey staying with us, or does she think we're crazy?
She will head home because she has work tomorrow.
We couldn't have done this without you, Audrey. Thank you so much. This is such an opportunity.
Oh, I was very happy to help, and I can't wait to the artifact is returned to the museum. Thank you, Teddy. Oh yes, Audrey, yes. He's clearly sort of wrapped up in this
in his own head. Yeah,
get over to a desk, and he's looking at it, and he's got books, and he opens up this book and that book, and he pulls out a pendant, puts it around his neck, and starts looking at these other parts, and you know, he's clearly just gone.
Can I read this stuff? I mean,
is there
any history that he's looking at or is nearby that I can read up about this, because poor Maud knows none of this stuff.
Oh, no, absolutely. He has a wide variety of books, and you can sort of, there's certainly some that are written in English and sitting on the table. I mean, he's, you know, clearly this has been his focus for some period of time. And Neve is clearly not around here. There's no proverbial woman's touch to this place. This is clearly a somewhat obsessed bachelor pad at this point. So at some point he'll sort of, the guest rooms are upstairs, and we've got a kitchen. There's some food in there if you want to eat something. And he points over to a sort of a cabinet. There's some liquor in there if you'd like. Make yourselves at home, of course.
I would happily help make some tea, but then I want to join him in the study and see what all's going on.
Sure. All right, so you're going to make some tea and sort of join him in the study. Maud, what are you up to?
You know what? I might go upstairs just to poke around to make sure all windows are locked. And Maud has just gotten increasingly jumpy.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's so the upstairs, you know, the guest rooms are functional. You know, it's they're rooms where you could sleep and, you know, small tables and whatnot, but there's no, you know, artwork or anything like that there to sort of give any sort of homey touch to it. Standard indoor type plumbing things going on. Go ahead and as you're locking up the windows, you can see that he's got a looking out, you can see he's got some sort of greenhouse out back. It's relatively, you know, his house definitely, you know, abuts the heath, and you can see just beyond that there's a forest.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay.
Able to lock that up? Yeah. And Oswald, what are you up to?
I think I'm going to pull up a chair in one of the windows on the front of the house and just kind of post up there and watch the street.
Sounds good. Let's go to Roger for a brief moment. Roger, what time does Roger go to bed?
Probably not long after second dinner. So, I don't know, what, 10, 11, something like that?
So, around this time. That's perfect. You fall asleep easily enough after second dinner and whatever.
Third brandy,
yeah. And at one point you're dreaming that you're back in Mrs. Lewis's drawing room again. And you're sitting in the same chair that you were sitting in before, and she's sitting in the same chair. She's got a cat sitting next to her on the chair she was sitting on, and it's looking rather intently at you, even as it sort of licks its front paws.
Good afternoon.
Yes, it's a very nice afternoon. And, you know, she takes her hand and starts licking it the same way the cat is.
Well, this is a pleasure to be back with you, I guess.
Mm.
How have you been?
Oh, I'm the same as I was earlier. I just thought, we could talk some more.
That would be delightful. Yeah, yes, what do we have to speak about? Are there any other cats around or just the one? I will look around nervously.
As you sort of, and it says, has that dreamlike quality, you sort of think, are there other cats around? There are other cats around. There are cats around sort of underneath the chairs now. There's some sort of wandering around. You can see out the back window. This sort of opens up into a little garden type area. There are cats running around there. What's curious is that most of them are little, you know, are just regular old cats, and some of them, you know, look slightly different than the other ones, you know, somewhat larger. But then some of them seem to have this sort of electricity sort of flashing around them. Like it's almost hypnotic as you sort of look around it. It's like stars sort of bouncing around them.
That would be delightful.
I was curious, why did you come to my place today? Why did you visit me and ask so many questions?
Well, as I said, a friend of Mr. Wayne. I know that you are as well a friend of Mr. Wayne's. And he indicated that you had some methods by which he may be assisted, and I wish to learn of them.
Oh, you wish to become in service and glory of Bast? I think you would make a lovely priest. Hmm.
I'm sorry, a priest of Bast? Is that? Yes. I'm going to assume that Roger knows Bast.
Oh, yes.
Would you like me? Okay.
Yes. No, it's. Yes. You just need to go visit that terrible churchman and retrieve.
Yes.
And she says something, but it's weird. Like, you know how in dreams sometimes something happens and you sort of connect things afterwards. You're sure she said something, but you don't know what it is, but you're sure that she's like asking sort of what it is seems silly because of course you know what it is. You just don't seem to remember what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Church. Mr. Church must be punished for what he did. You will demonstrate your loyalty by punishing him, won't you?
Well, yes, of course.
Excellent. And she gets up off the chair and she starts moving around and she's humanoid. Like you're sure she's human. And yet at one point she's moving on all fours in the same way as if she was a cat. Like there's sort of that cognitive dissonance of she's definitely human, but she's walking in a way that a cat walks, but in human form. And you stop that dream.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go back to Price's house. So, Oswald, you're staring out a window.
That's right. I'm excellent. Just, being the hunter, watching for prey.
Big game.
Or big game, yes.
Yeah. Maud, what are you going to be doing as the evening goes on?
Trying to stay awake, making tea, moving around, checking the windows. I'm just so paranoid and fighting. Maybe I'll make a fire.
Okay. And Lady Agatha or Dame Agatha.
Yeah, I am learning all I can. I'm hoping to sort of hear his patter, as he talks about what he discovers and whatever, as he's reading things. And so I'm curious about what he's finding out.
Yeah. He is talking mostly to himself. That reference is Gert's work. Let me look at Gert's. Oh, yes, Gert's references. He's talking and talking. You're getting something from it, but it's not a lot. He seems to be making progress, but it's hard for you to tell what he's doing.
Okay.
As the night goes on and on, I'd like everybody to give me a pow roll.
Pow. That's a failure.
What's that?
Failure for Agatha.
Okay.
Ooh, a make it by one regular success for Oswald. Okay.
When I made it.
Okay, great. Agatha, it is, you try, you really do. But at some point, this is just too boring.
Sit down and fall asleep.
You fall asleep in the chair. Yeah. And you know, that seems fine. You know, he's got it under control. Everybody's awake. You're obviously been nervous about things, but you know, this all seems fine. Yeah, the other two of you, I mean, so you're staring out the window, Oswald, that makes sense. Are you staring out a front window or a back window?
A front window.
Okay. And Maud, what do you do as the time keeps going on?
I keep moving because I see dear Agatha fall asleep. I'm just like, nope, got to keep moving. And I get up and I wash the tea things and I check the locks again. And I, you know, stir up the fire and I look out another window and just keep moving.
Trying to keep moving. Yeah. Yeah. About another hour goes by. When do you, each of you, give me another pow roll?
Oh, I can't take it anymore.
That's a 20. That's a hard success.
That's excellent. So yes, at some point, Maud, you sort of fall asleep, Oswald, you're sort of watching the front of the house there. You know, there's a windows up in the front living room's there, and you hear this blood-curdling scream from the back of the house.
I run with my gun out.
The inside of the study area, which is towards the back of the house, is cloudy. You can hear the doors, the back doors from the study sort of bouncing back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, I'm yelling for Agatha as I run up there. Agatha!
Yeah, did either the scream or his yelling wake me up? I assume I'm in that room, right, the study?
You are in that room. It does wake you up, but it takes longer than you would suspect. I mean, when you realize, like, there was a scream in here and you're, you know, it just feels like you were in sort of an unnatural sleep, really.
Mm.
You wake up, Agatha. Certainly, Maud, you wake up as well, and you guys can, all of you can hear. It's particularly clear to Oswald and Agatha that someone is yelling as they're running out into the night.
I'm gonna go after them because I think we know who that is.
Yeah, I will look for Theodore here.
He is not Theodore? There.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why.
And then I will look for the horn.
The horn is there.
Excellent.
Yep, I'll run after him.
Yeah, I grab my purse that has my gun in it, and I run after as well.
Okay. You're running out. It is foggy out there. Again, you know, it was smoky and inside the study there. It's even more so outside here. When you came there, it was pretty bright moonlight out, but it's hard to see anything more than that's just a few yards in front of you.
Don't go far. I don't want to lose sight of the house.
Yeah, me neither. I'll run out, and if I if we don't see anything or we can't find him, I guess we'll just, I mean, we'll have to go back.
And then as you're sort of running and you're just sort of trying to figure out how far away you are, you hear another scream. It's absolutely Price just up ahead of you.
Well, then I run for that.
And as you emerge through into the just as the forest starts, you see Theodore Rayburn Price. He is hanging from a birch tree on the fringe of the woods, impaled on a jagged branch. Both of his eyes have been poked out, and there's blood dripping onto the ground.
Jesus.
Could I get sanity rolls from anybody who think they were staying close enough to be there for this?
Oh, yeah.
44 is a success for me.
I got a 4. I'm not surprised.
yeah, so it's just 1 if you succeed. Agatha, are you staying near the house? Are you?
No, I am in the study. I've taken up the horn. Yep. I am going to put it in my bag, and I'm looking to see if I can figure out what he was doing. What book's out? What's sort of going on at that moment?
Excellent. Give me an occult roll. I think, weirdly enough.
70-something. Nope.
Okay. There are some trinkets around on the table. They seem to be put into sort of a, they're not just sort of dropped there. They're in like, you know, a triangular shape or something. And then there's a piece of ribbon that seems to be around it. And then there's books sort of half open all around. It just isn't your area of expertise to sort of look at and go, oh yeah, that's what he was doing.
Sure. I will sketch or make a note of the trinkets and stuff and grab them as well.
Okay.
And I'm also waiting for some burglar to come in to take the horn.
Sure.
So I'm sort of doing this and then looking around and, you know, looking left and right and
sure.
Sketching. Give me a... So it's all a little erratic.
Yep. Give me a spot hidden.
24 is a normal success.
Okay. Yeah. You look around. I mean, obviously there's a little smoke in here. There's fog outside, but you don't see anything sort of moving around in the fog.
Okay.
You don't see any, you don't hear any, you don't see the, you know, any movement up in the front of the house. Or anything like that. I mean, you're in the back of the house, so it's hard to see completely in the front of the house. But you don't get a sense that anybody is sort of coming into the house right now.
Good. Okay. So yeah. So I'm collecting stuff.
Back out into the woods. Oswald and Maud, what are you up to?
I'm gonna have to call.
I'm gonna run up to him. See, I mean, I guess try and look around, see if I see any tracks or trails of anything or anyone.
Well, that's interesting. Go ahead and give me whatever you think would be appropriate for that. Tracking?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my track skill should cover that. But not with a 98.
Oh, the bot has to track. She'll see.
Yeah, it's foggy out here. The ground is pretty hard. But while you're there, why don't you give me a medicine or a biology roll if you have that in science?
Nope, I have botany.
All right, so how about a medicine roll then?
Medicine, well.
I have biology.
Nope.
Nope, 95.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, as you're, can you each give me a listen roll?
I can burn some luck and make it. I will burn 4 points of luck to make it.
There's definitely something out in the woods. There's definitely something moving out there. something large.
And let's go back. Come on. Let's go back.
But just as importantly, perhaps for you, is that there are other houses nearby. I mean, it's a very popular place to live right near the woods like this. And you definitely hear like people starting to talk in other houses. Like there's a lot of like, what's going on out there? And lights turning on and that sort of thing.
Let's go back.
Let's go back.
All right. you're all so Agatha, yes, at some point some figures move through the fog, but
excellent, I shoot them all. No, yeah. what happened? Where did he go?
He's dead.
He's dead.
What do you mean he's dead?
Something lifted him up and impaled him on a tree. How high up on the tree was it, Sean?
Well, there's a picture in the in the notes.
Gosh.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I suggest we call our detective friend.
Yeah.
We can try and get a hold of him. Certainly, yes, but... I have the horn.
Perhaps something
he was doing while he was researching and you were sleeping. Either some shadow monster was summoned, or I don't know. I mean.
Obviously, this did not lift the curse as he had hoped.
No.
No.
What about our other friends? Your other friends, Agatha.
My other friends.
The children of peace, what are they?
Oh, yes.
Tranquility.
Tranquility. Yes. Oh, that's a good... yes, perhaps. Well, and it does seem that whoever Sir Bailey represents may have a good reason. I'm supposed to meet him tomorrow at 3? Today, later today.
Mm.
But yes, I could certainly. So I feel like he gave us some better way of getting in touch with him. No, maybe it was still just do a newspaper ad?
It was a newspaper ad.
Newspaper ad still, okay. Yeah, it will take a little while, but we could certainly, in the morning, I could certainly send a letter to the paper to put an ad, and I'm sure they'll be in touch. I mean, if I get it into the afternoon paper... maybe it's, I don't know how much lead time they need. Maybe it's tomorrow's paper, but I mean, you know, the next day. But I'm sure we can, I can definitely do that.
There's definitely people walking out in the darkness now. You see torches.
Oh, they're going to come to the house soon. I feel like... they obviously they'll recognize him and they'll come and see what's going on here.
That's right. I'm going to go ahead and contact the detective.
Yes, that's good. Here's his number.
Oh, interesting. When you were saying contact the detective, I had been thinking you were talking about Gary's character.
I was thinking Gary too, but you're talking about the policeman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so much better. Excellent. Good.
Good. It wasn't just me going, why is she calling me saying we should call Gary's character?
It's like, it's going to be hard to get a hold of him. About Gary I'm telling you.
You were the same way I was said when I was like, I don't think you're going to get to him right away, but okay. Brinslow is who you're thinking of. Yes.
Yeah, Brinslow.
Yeah, you can call the Scotland Yard and yes.
Yes, I'm searching for Detective Brinslow. It is an urgent matter.
He's gone home for the day. He'll be in tomorrow.
Well, Well, there's been an incident, and we need police sent, and I give him the address. Mr. Brinslow is more acquainted with the situation.
What type of incident are we talking about here?
There's been a death.
Oh, well, I mean, there's been a death?
Yes, sir. It's very strange. It's very strange.
Yes, this is unusual. I will have a detective go over there. Please don't touch anything.
Oh no.
It's the neighbors. You can hear the shot cry from neighbors outside. And at some point, a car pulls up in front of the house. A uniformed officer walks out with a man who, dressed in a suit, looks to be in his early 30s. And he will walk up, knock on the door.
I'll open it.
Yes. Detective Partridge here. I was told that there was some sort of incident you needed looking into.
Yes, Detective. I'm Maude Throckmorton.
Yes. And you see his uniform officer pull out a notebook and start writing things down.
Come away, please. And I kick woods.
Can you tell me what it is I'm here for?
If you look up there, sir.
He looks out, and I don't know what a good 1920s London phrase for holy shit is, but that's what he says.
Crikey.
I feel like that's probably not it, but yeah, sure, whatever. Cranky. Brown, go call this in. Go call this in. Get some more officers here. You people, because at this point there is sort of a neighbors. Please back away, please. This is a police investigation. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. What happened?
I think he might have gone mad. Honestly, I had fallen asleep. Nobody saw exactly what happened. He screamed and ran out of the house, and it was dark and foggy, and there was another scream, and by the time we found him, that had happened.
And you are related to the deceased name is, I'm sorry, what?
Theodore Price.
Yes, and you are connected with him. How? Why are you? He sort of finally takes stock of the three of you, or there's probably more of you, but it's a small crowd of you, really. And sort of says,
we're helping him with a research project.
Research project. This hour of the night, okay?
I point to all the books and things that are around.
What was he researching, and how does this? What happened here? How did he get up there?
Are you familiar with ancient Assyrian artifacts and polytheistic religion?
We'd really rather speak with Detective Brinslow.
Well, I don't think you get a choice about these things when a man is dead here. And I'm sorry, sir. What was it you just said?
Well,
I think that's exactly the point.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I mean, we could explain to you what we were researching, but that's really not, I don't think.
And you're saying Detective Brinslow will understand what this poly thing is that you're involved in?
Yes.
He has more experience. Just, you know, context. That's it. It is, it's he has background.
All right. Well, I'm going to get the basics. And so he will, you know, an officer will come in. He will interview you all. I assume you're all just, well, then why don't you just tell me, Dame Agatha, what's your general, and he's not sort of taking you in separate rooms and interrogating you or anything like that. You're all within earshot of each other.
Yeah, I think that I was in here, you know, I was sitting here and he was doing some research. You can see all these books lying around. What I will not do is take out the horn.
Yep.
But yeah, and then I fell asleep, you know, it got kind of dull and et cetera. And the scream and so forth.
Yep. Oswald, are you saying anything dramatically different than that?
Nope.
Cool. Maud?
No, just that I too had fallen asleep and he did seem a touch unhinged and
are you suggesting it was suicide? How did he get himself?
No. I think delusional. I would say delusional. I think there was a high anxiety, and Maud is definitely very anxious. And I think that I don't know. Like I said, with the screaming and the running in the fog, I think he became a little unhinged. And I'll just kind of trail off and just kind of stare outside.
All right. So at some point, there's a lot of uniforms walking around. The medical staff arrives.
Confirm he's dead.
Yeah. They're taking, you know, notes and things like that and getting a ladder to get up there to get him down. And, leading him off. Could everybody give me a listen roll?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, normal success.
All right. So, you know, when you're not being interviewed at some, or maybe you are, you overhear a conversation where the medical personnel involved say that it looks to them like the victim tore out his own eyes. Cool. So the interview is going on and anything, are you guys doing anything during the interviews? Just trying to stay out of the way, trying to make tea. What's the.
Interviews are with, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're being interviewed individually, but you can. It's not one of these things where like, Maud said so and so. She said you were the brains behind this, Agatha. It's not that sort of interview situation. It's more of a, you know, they're taking you apart and asking your stories, but it's not. You don't get the sense that it's to play one person off another or anything like that.
Yeah. I'll make tea. And just answer.
Okay. Oswald, anything?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Nope. Nothing out of the ordinary or special.
Cool. Agatha?
I am definitely hoping to sharpen my understanding of police procedures. So I will listen into as much of the stuff as I can and see how they're doing things and take notes about it.
Cool. Give me. I'm not even going to give a roll. So, Partridge appears to be very much by the book.
Okay.
From what little, you know, as you know, you're a mystery writer. You've sort of interviewed police people before. He's absolutely by the book. And this entire situation, is deeply unnerving to him because there's no book that says, here's what you do when somebody is found up in a tree, impaled on a branch, and tore out his own eyes. There's just not a book like that written, although I'm sure Dame Agatha is now thinking about that book.
He's like, well, maybe I could do horror. There's probably no money in horror, but...
Not yet, but wait.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this will go on, you know, it was probably around 2 a.m. or so when Price ran out the door. It's the first sort of flicker of dawn is coming on the horizon by the time they let you go.
Okay.
Up and sleep a little.
Oswald, do you think looking outside that any of those people are... I saw that car from the auction, but who do you think, do you recognize anyone out there that may have shown up during the night or in the morning?
Do I, Sean?
You don't. I mean, the cars sort of drove in and drove off again, and as you watch for the next 3 hours or so, because you didn't fall asleep, no other cars sort of popped up and sort of parked mysteriously outside the house or anything like that.
And during the police excitement, there's nothing. Okay.
No.
Should
we go have breakfast?
Yeah, might as well.
Yes. At least we know where Roger will be.
Yes.
Oh, are you going to go to the club for breakfast?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Roger, did you go to the club for breakfast, or you have something else planned for the day? It's probably a little early for Roger, but, you know.
It is. And certainly, normally, I would. But I feel some urgency to go find Mr. Church.
Oh, okay.
So I may actually, for once, skip the morning club.
You're not going to survive.
This isn't right. Roger's always here.
We all make sand rules.
And head to Croydon.
Yes.
Or am I misinterpreting my dream from last night?
No, no, you're absolutely interpreting your dreams, let's just sort of assume you've got white pages. He doesn't actually live in Croydon. He lives in Sutton.
Oh. You
may recall that the fancy Cat Fanciers Association is the Croydon Sutton.
Oh.
He lives in the adjoining town.
Okay. Okay. That was going to be an extra scandal if he didn't even live in Croydon and he's trying to take over the Croydon Cat Fancier Society. Well, yes, if I can find Mr. Church, even if he is in Sutton, of all places.
It's not a problem to find him. He lives in, you know, fairly, you know, a modest, semi-detached house. It's a reddish brick structure. There's a front, sort of small front garden out front. And, give me a spot hidden roll.
Oh, here we go.
All fun and games until it's game games.
Something. To go. That dice around here somewhere. There we go. Okay, that is almost a success. I will. No, I'm not going to spend luck on that. No, okay. That's a fail.
Okay. You. Yeah, you're in front of his house.
Knock, knock.
Nobody answers.
Knock louder.
Give me a listen roll.
Mr. Church.
Uh, At some point,
that's a success. That's actually a success.
What was that?
That's even a hard success on listen.
Oh, perfect. Yes, there's definitely somebody inside. And at your yelling at him loudly, you will hear sort of somebody, you know, walking towards the door with that hard success. And yes, who is it?
Roger Schindler. For do I have a first name for this guy? I don't think I do. All right, it's just been Mr. Church in the letter, and then again in the dream.
Yeah, yeah.
Roger Schindler for Mr. Church.
What? I don't. Do I know you?
Not yet.
Give me a persuade or charm roll, I guess.
It's very important that I speak with you.
Good. Give it. You can have advantage on it. How's that? Or whatever. Sure. Bonus die. Well,
bonus die without is a normal success. With is still a normal success.
Okay.
We'll go normal success.
Normal persuade. Success.
Yeah.
Yeah. He will open the door. He is a tall, thin man. He's got graying hair and pronounced cheekbones. He looks tired. He's got a suit on. Get the sense that maybe he wears the suit most of the time, and he just what I'm sorry, what do you need, sir?
Mr. Church, I presume.
Yes.
Ah, excellent. Roger Nicholas Schindler at your service. And I will step inside. You know, push my way past him. Thank you for seeing me.
He sort of looks at you as you sort of push inside. Says, sorry, what is this about?
Once inside, I will turn and look at him. I am here on behalf of Mrs. Lewis.
Are you a friend of Mrs. Lewis?
Recently acquainted, let us say.
Are you here? What in capacity? What capacity are you here in?
Well, to discuss the situation regarding the what the hell are they called?
Abyssinian.
London Abyssinian. I had Abyssinian there. Forgot
you.
To discuss the
you
situation,
monster
of the London Abyssinian, as well as to retrieve the item that you took from Mrs. Lewis.
You are a monster, sir. My fiance lies dead at Mrs. Lewis's doing, and you want to talk about cats at a time like this? That woman, she makes megalomaniacs look small and petty next to her level of self-importance.
I do apologize. Your fiance?
Yes.
You
yes,
believe
she didn't
Mrs.
mention
Lewis.
That she killed my fiancé?
How did Mrs. Lewis manage this? Mrs. Lewis is rather an elderly, somewhat frail woman.
Yes, that's what she'd like you to think. That's what she'd like you to think. But I assure you that poor Amelia is one more victim of hers.
And how did Mrs. Lewis manage to murder your fiancé? Bashed her over the head? Shot her? Strangled her with a length of rope?
No, you know nothing about what's going on, do you?
Clearly. Why don't you enlighten me, Mr. Church? Come, let us sit down. I will look for a nearby living room or sitting room, and
make myself at home.
you go in and you sit down, and he continues to stand and say, "Go ahead and give me a psychology roll."
On him or on myself?
Little column A, little column B.
0-1, and that's an extreme success.
So you, as a 0-1, that was a really good time to roll a 0-1, by the way. He is clearly grief stricken, but underneath the grief is a burning anger. And he is looking at you, and he is trying to decide something. And you get the sense that you really hope he ends up on one way versus the other.
The not shooting you side.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of having, you know, realize that, I will switch tactics here. I am, of course, very sorry to hear of the death of your fiance. And truly, any death of a loved one is a tragedy. But the death of a fiance whom you have planned a life with, and now that life has been so brutally and rudely ripped away, is doubly tragic. I am trying to exercise, you know, say appropriate things to mollify the gentleman and calm things down here. I'm happy to roll psychoanalysis if you wish. please do sit down and tell me your tale. In the sharing of such things, burdens can be eased.
I would really like you to roll me a persuade roll right now.
Persuade roll, you say? How much luck do I have to spend? None. 0-2.
There we go.
That's another extreme success.
Yeah.
Roger is on form for once.
I wish I knew that
the right
feeling.
Time, apparently.
Yes. He sort of shakes his shoulders. He sits down. And he says, I can't believe she's brought another person into her fold.
She seems quite adept at doing so, I must say.
Mumford, a retired police detective. She brings him in, and he convinces him to try to convinces him to do robbery for her.
Murder and robbery.
Mumford didn't do murder. That's all her.
Yes, yes, no, but you have recently been the victim of...
It wasn't me. It was the museum.
I do apologize. I'm having difficulty jumping from the murder of your fiancé to a robbery at...
which yes. Museum? The British Museum. Mumford is a retired police detective. He stole an item from the museum, gave it to her. She is using the item to do terrible things, including killing my fiance.
I see.
You can go to Mumford. He'll tell you. He'll tell you that she convinced him to steal the item and...
Well, for what it is worth, I am probably one of the very few people in London who is willing to believe such things. various of my compatriots have been chasing down other artifacts related to the museum and certain unfortunate goings-on in the city lately. Why would Mrs. Lewis choose to murder your fiancé, though?
Oh, because of these damn cats. Because I refuse to acknowledge that her London Assyrian kittens are worthy of being show cats, and therefore
of course.
She so is She is taking out her petty revenges on the innocents as a way of trying to convince me that I should change my mind on this matter.
That very much makes a good deal of sense.
Can a psychology roll?
That's a normal success.
What he's saying is all true, but he's leaving out certain details.
I just hope so. I should say there's some detail being left out.
Perhaps that was self-evident, but I didn't want to sort of not give you the opportunity.
Do you know what the item is that she had? Detective, yes, Munford, I believe it was.
The Eye of Lamashtu, I think she called it.
The Eye of Lamashtu.
Yes.
That makes a deal of sense. Yes, yes, I see the connection. And
go ahead and give me a intelligence or an idea roll.
That's not good. Nope.
Okay.
And do you know how she used the Eye of Lamashtu to kill your unfortunate fiancé?
Oh, she connects with cats. She considers herself a worshipper of Basts now.
And therefore commands or requests, or however you wish to phrase it, that the cats do the deed.
Yes.
So your unfortunate fiancé was torn apart by house cats. That is
and her incredibly poor parents.
Tragic.
Yes.
She killed her parents. Fiancé's parents? Or
Mrs. Lewis killed my fiancé's parents as well.
Oh, dear. Her revenge does extend in some...
I don't know if you as a player, but it just happened yesterday, so I'm not going to make you roll for it. You know, Amelia is a name you're familiar with.
Is that out of the article?
That's out of the article, the grisly find.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I figured that was Kat somehow doing it, but
yeah.
I had forgotten that there was a name in there. Yep. Okay. Yes. Yes. I recall seeing the article in the paper.
So you understand. She must be stopped.
Yes. And, my associates and I will be turning our attention to her to do so shortly. May I ask, Mrs. Lewis made mention of something that was in your possession that she wanted. Do you happen to know what that was?
Oh, I assume it's my my vote on her silly cats.
Ah, of course, of course. If it's not too indelicate of me to ask, and I do apologize, I'm not an expert on the subject, but why are you so opposed to her breed?
Because we have a certain standard that we have to maintain. There's no point in being in an organization that puts forward cats, but they're clearly just purebred obsidians and some wild tomcat off the streets of London.
I see. And has, where does your vote not lie now?
My vote remains where it is, given the apparent danger
to yourself and your loved ones?
Yes, but I mean, cats. I mean, we must have standards or the society falls into ruin. I am not the sort to give in to this terrorism on her part. But tell me, sir, you say you and your companions will deal with her.
Yes, yes. On that note, you can be certain.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I feel much better knowing it's in your hands. I didn't know what to do myself, but you seem like a sort of person that gets things done.
Well, let us say I know people who get things done.
Excellent. She is very dangerous. You need to be careful around her. She does need to be stopped.
I certainly would agree with that assessment, sir.
Well, if there's nothing else, I would like to continue my grieving, if you don't mind, sir.
Of course. I do apologize for barging in, and thank you for your time, Mr. Church.
Give me a spot hidden roll.
That's probably not going to happen. Oh, it does. Hello. That's some kind of success, I think. That's even a hard success.
Wow. From not going to happen to hard success. When he stands up to say goodbye, you sort of realize this during this whole time, he's kept his left hand next to his left pants pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in his pocket that, you know, that every now and then he sort of just taps.
I do apologize for the indelicacy, sir, as I stand up. What is it that you are holding in your pants pocket?
Well, it's just a memento of my fiancée.
May I see it?
You may not, sir.
Are you certain? It may be useful or important to
my
understanding.
I am quite certain, sir.
Very well. Then I'll leave.
He sees you out. You hear the click of the lock of a door as you leave. Give me another spot hidden.
There we go. Back on form. That's a failure.
Oh, good. Good. I was worried about the number of successes in a row.
So was I.
Is really interfering with keeping things mysterious. Yes. Do you have a next mission in mind, or?
I feel this is a strange sensation for Roger. He feels like he might need some assistance in this next part.
Dangerous? I'm sorry, what?
People who get things done. Hmm.
Certain that barging into Mrs. Lewis's on his own is the best approach. So perhaps to the club. That Mr. Kelly fellow seemed reasonably competent in the getting of things done. Or Mr. Nichols, perhaps. He's a stout fellow. Even Miss Hall, quite adventurous. But yes, to the club.
Dame Agatha does not make the list, apparently.
No.
Yes, the other group, you arrive back at the club. It's somewhat early in the morning. They rustle up some food for you. There's no sign of Roger.
I'm sure he'll be in a little bit. It's hard to imagine him missing dinner, breakfast.
Any of it.
Any of it, really, yes.
And at some point, members are walking in, and they are clearly talking about Theodore Price.
No. We should let President know, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, he did say he wanted to be kept abreast of the investigation, that he was interested, and he seemed rather excited about it, really, at the time. So, yes, perhaps that would be wise.
I guess it's best if he hears it from us rather than anyone else.
That too, yes.
And you all are there early enough that when Gregory Bluffstone walks in, I mean, you're there to see him walking in.
Mm. On the side.
Yes. What's happening? Have you heard about Price?
Yes.
The detectives apparently found his business cards that included the club address on it. They called up. Sykes called me this morning about it. It's terrible. I know you were friends.
We were at his lodgings last night.
Oh.
The body.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm terribly sorry for that. Poor Theodore. Such a brilliant man in so many ways. How did he die? Was it a heart attack? Or... police were sort of vague on the details.
I'm sure they were.
It was not a peaceful death. I think that's all you really want to know.
Well, we will put together a memorial for him for tonight. Get the club members together, of course. It's important to us. We need to remember him. Yes. Will we be able to attend?
Tonight, I believe so, yes. Yes, I think we'll have to get some rest this afternoon after I... Do you know Sir Bailey, a lawyer?
Oh, yes. Yes.
What do you know of him?
Oh, well, he's part of Bailey, Finkel, and Witherby, the law firm. Well-respected in the legal community. I know that for sure. Known as, the kind of person you could trust with your secrets. If you're his client, of course.
Of course.
Are you thinking of engaging him?
No, I have a meeting with him this afternoon about something that may in fact be related to Theodore's death. And he seemed like a good fellow, and he seemed like he was helping to have this meeting for our own benefit, or at least in part for our own benefit. And I just... I'm hoping that he really is looking out for us and not...
Well, I'm sure he's not looking out for you. I'm sure he's looking out for his client. But if you're thinking he has any sort of sinister intent, no. He's not that sort of person. It's all going to be very much the legal discussion, contracts and agreements.
He would choose his clients well, presumably. He would not let somebody hire him who was not... You know, the right sort of person.
Well, I can't speak to who he hires. I know he has a good reputation. I'm sure he wouldn't hire a criminal, for example.
Or let them hire him.
Yes, I'm sure the criminals wouldn't. He wouldn't take. I don't think they do any defense law or anything of that sort. But but in general, if one has a reasonable request. It appears to be legal, they will act.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll see.
Yes, you all look quite tired. Need to sleep.
Yes. Good. What do you say, Rachel?
That sounds lovely.
Perfect. Yes, I think after we eat and take a nap before our 3 o'clock appointment, or my 3 o'clock appointment, I'm not sure which it is. You're certainly all welcome.
Strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we'll certainly go with you. Whether or not we come inside with you, that's we'll see.
All right, so you're all going to take advantage of the sleeping facilities here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a few hours would be excellent.
Great. Could everybody roll me a D10?
I can probably figure out how to do that.
Ask Maud, let me ask you first. What number did you get?
9.
As you fall asleep, at some point you realize you're in a dark chamber. You're dreaming this clearly, but it feels so real. You're sort of putting your hands around and you realize like there's a flickering candlelight. You realize you're in a stone tomb of some sort. And you can see these same cuneiform runes that you've been seeing all around on the walls, as well as desiccated bodies all around. And as you stare there in the darkness, the bodies suddenly jerk, start to stand up and move towards you. And you just feel them grabbing you and holding you down. It just, you can smell their breath on you and feel their sharp fingernails on your flesh. And you can see that the shadows are coalescing into a form of a monstrous bull.
No!
Charges towards you and it gorges you with its horns. Again, it must be a dream. You can see your entrails just sort of falling out onto the floor. You just watch them falling. Can you give me a sanity roll, please?
Yeah, I can give you a roll.
All right, we'll go on, though. Oswald, what was your number?
I rolled a 2.
You know, as you're sleeping there, you're trying to get to sleep, and you hear this scratching noise. And you start to get out of bed to sort of find out what this is. And you put your feet onto what you think is the floor, but the floor is just writhing beneath you. You realize it's hundreds, no thousands of rats crawling around, their eyes sparkling in an unnatural way. And then they just start to bite. Can you roll me a sanity roll? Don't tell me the result yet. And Agatha?
1.
You're in a maze. It's almost dark. You're sort of trying to find your way through it. It doesn't seem to be any way out. And as you're sort of making your way through, you just feel yourself getting older and older and weaker and weaker. You're an old woman walking through these eternal tunnels, but there's just seems to be no escape. If you can give me a sanity roll.
Sure. I have rolled. Do you also not want my result yet? Or would you like
I do
to
want
know?
Your results, yes. Oh, we'll I start fail. With you. You lose 1.
Okay.
Oswald?
I rolled a 90, which is a fail.
That's a D3.
Okay.
And then way down at the bottom of the chart, Maud.
I succeeded.
So you just lose a D4.
Nice.
And not the D12.
2.
Nanner.
So you all sleep, but it's not a restful sleep by any stretch of the imagination. And just for the sake of narrative fun, let's have you all sort of pull yourselves out and head down around the time for lunch, which, you know, We'll just sort of say that's around the time that Roger arrives back at the club again.
Wonderful. Ah, Roger. I slept in this morning.
Ah, Dame Agatha. Rather the opposite, I'm afraid. I was up early.
Oh, Sandy rolls. The world is it, Dodds? Do tell.
Yes, I believe I have inadvertently stumbled upon the, shall we say, the next chapter of our investigation.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, good work.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Following up on poor Mr. Wayne, you may recall, cat painter fellow from the institution.
That's lovely stuff.
Yes. Quick question for the keeper.
Yes.
Have we come across that name Mumford before, the detective?
Several sons.
I think that Wayne at one point mentioned his name to you. Yes, as a friend of hers. Of Mrs. Lewis's.
Okay. I kind of meant more generally, if he had robbed from the museum, if we knew of that name as from museum robbery or anything like that.
No, his name has not come up in that context at all.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, you know, and it's Mumford's in the letter. Even if this is not the case, Mr. Mumford has made wonderful progress on the project we discussed, and I should soon be able to offer you the protection you so desire.
Oh, Mountford.
Was I saying it differently?
I was hearing Mumford.
Oh, I may have been saying that, but it is Mountford.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
that maybe hit the proper pronunciation. I just hadn't put those together. Okay, but okay, but prior to that,
no,
you know,
he
back
hasn't come
in
up in any
many sessions ago when we were breaking into the museum and other people were breaking into the museum and kind of everyone was stealing stuff left, right, and center. Okay. I assume that is true of the Eye of Lamash too.
Well, why doesn't everybody else give me an idea roll now as you're talking about this with them? I assume you are, yes.
Well, yeah, that's kind of where I was headed. Yeah. I was trying to give myself some, verify my own context as well.
Uh-huh. Hard success, an idea.
Yeah, I have an idea.
Way back when, there was a piece of paper that you found in the dealers that talked about items that had been stolen.
True.
One
that.
Of them was a cat's eye opal.
Okay. Cool. Mr. Wayne associated with Mrs. Lewis, Mrs. Lewis, crazy cat lady, Detective Mumford stole the Eye of Lamashtu from the museum for her, and has used it to kill at least 3 people so far.
Wow. What does it have to do with Naboo, Roger? Yeah. Well,
the Eye of Lamashtu is one of the artifacts from Naboo, is it not?
It was stolen, but...
It was definitely stolen from the Naboo collection.
Yes. See?
Well, let's tell you about our little escapade.
Yes. Yes, we were successful, as it were, at the auction.
But unsuccessful in protecting Mr. Price.
Successful, are we? Yes. But we still have the horn.
Do you know what sent him from the house in such a state?
It was my dream. I can't say that I blame him.
Yeah, it was clearly the horn in some way. No doubt about that.
Smoke or fog in the house. Do you think he blew it? Lit something in it?
That's interesting, perhaps. Do I have any memory of the scent of the smoke? You know, was it paper? Was it more steam? Was it scentless, which would be also strange?
That's interesting. It smelled like what you would imagine. In case you, I don't think she may or may not have actually been there. But it smelled, you know, when you when it rains and the on a beach type thing, and there's that smell of sort of the water hitting the sand.
Hot
smell like that. Like, but you know, but less wet, more like a deserty smell to it. You sort of try to put your brain to it, but it's, you know.
Well, I have been to the desert, so.
Oh, if you have, then yes, it absolutely smells like, you know, when a dust storm happens. There's that smell to it.
Yeah, there was some smoke. It wasn't fire, though. It was. It didn't seem like something that he was, you know, burning in the lab or in the office. It seemed like, I don't know, a dust storm or. A desert, like some creature. Well, perhaps, you know, some creature came from.
Do you think he was just wrong? Just flat out wrong in his assessment of what the horn would do?
Well, I had reason to believe earlier that the horn is from some sort of a demon and not something that, for lack of a better word, should be messed with. So, yes, it certainly seems quite possible that he was overconfident or wrong or just made a mistake. They all seem quite possible, yes.
Or all three?
Yes, certainly. Not surprised me in the least.
And what do you think we should do about your crazy cat lady, Roger?
Well, I believe that we need to go brace her and retrieve the eye of whatever it's called. Lamashtu, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
So she has an item. He has an item. She's killing people. Boy, I think the Curse of Nineveh is just any of this stuff. All of this stuff.
All of it.
I mean, and we don't even know where Nev is from the beginning. I mean, Theodore was supposed to be protecting her, and who knows where she's been left now.
I mean, I think it was us hearing of Nineveh.
Yes.
Time to meet the lawyer.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's the demon. Perhaps we should stop by the bank on the way and put this horn away before we meet with the lawyer.
Absolutely.
I feel like it may have been perhaps the cause of our not sleeping so well. I remember many months ago that that statue also was troubling. Is troubling.
I give her the slant eye.
Yeah, so let's do that. We'll go to the bank and then we'll go to the lawyer.
Okay. You are able to get, obviously, go to the bank. It's not a problem. They seem to be double checking a little bit. Make sure you're who you are.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Could I get a sanity roll from you, Dame Agatha?
Sure. That is a failure.
That's a D3.
Okay.
As you put the horn in and you look at the statue, you just feel like, I could just take the statue with me. There's no reason for it to stay here.
There isn't. Yeah, I suspect that is fairly obvious at this point to many of my colleagues and friends.
I guess that's a good question. Did you have everybody come in with you to put it in there? Was it just you? What would Dame Agatha do?
She would not go alone. She wasn't there.
Yeah, she can't get
in. She's not on the bank. But
who isn't?
She had it. She took it home, and that's why she has this thing, and she's walked by the bank, but she actually...
Okay, right. So it was Maud and Kitty, actually, right?
Yes, it's Maud and Kitty.
They were the team.
So Maud has to go in with Dame Agatha.
Give me a psychology roll.
Oh, psychology. B. Nope.
Okay. You are able to put the horn inside. Are you keeping all the trinkets and things you found as well, Agatha, or are you taking those with you?
Oh, that's a good question. What do you think we should do, Maud? I mean, they don't seem valuable in and of themselves. Perhaps we should hold on to them so they can be looked at by the graduate students?
Yeah, I said there was protections. I'm torn, but the bank has been very safe so far. So it's either Kitty or I have to open it. Right. Close the drawer.
Damn. I'll hold on to the trinkets then.
Protection is good.
Yeah, protection and perhaps some knowledge.
Yes, didn't Roger say we had those three stones that Kitty and I picked up that were warm. They were supposed to be protection too.
It was sort of more of an alarm system. Roger, did you go with them? What are you doing with yourself?
I would like to place a call to... the answer to the question is no. I will stay at the
call. Don't be silly.
I would like to place a call. Is it Detective Brinslow? Brinslow?
Brinslow, yes.
Yes, our friendly detective.
Yes.
Informing him that I would like to have a conversation at his convenience about a suspect at a break-in in the museum.
Yes, I think it'd be very good for me to meet with you and your companions. I've just gotten the report back from Partridge. Thank your companions for broadcasting my name as being the name to deal with this sort of situation. It's very helpful for my career prospects. So what would be a reasonable time to meet you at the club?
Lunch would be lovely.
Oh, it's past lunch now. By the time you got out there.
Dinner would be lovely.
Excellent. I'll see you around 5 or so.
Wonderful. I will be here.
And Roger, if you're staying in around the club, you definitely see that they are making preparations for a memorial service for Price.
For Price. Okay, sure.
Yep. Oswald, did you go with them?
I did.
Can you give me a spot hidden roll?
I sure can try. Oh. 54 is a success.
As you are, did you go into the bank with them or stay outside?
I probably would have gone in with them.
Okay. As you walk inside, you notice that some people, there are tellers there, one teller in particular seems to notice you.
Okay.
And it's not in a, oh, he's a handsome young man type thing, but more in a, I've been looking for that person type thing. Not you specifically type thing, but your group.
Interesting. Okay. And who is this teller? What do they look like? Do I know them?
You don't. He's a young man dressed in a suit that looks, apropos of somebody of a, reasonable income level, not raking in the dollars, but a suit that you wear probably 3 or 4 times during the week to look appropriate.
Okay. All right. I'll nudge the others and say, don't all look at once, but you recognize that teller in the third window?
We all look.
You all look at once. No. The teller is unfamiliar to you. He looks to be a young man doing his job. And yes.
All right.
Well, you say he's been paying attention to us, you think?
He's definitely paying attention to us.
I wonder if he's been paid off to look for, to keep an eye out for us.
Maybe. I don't know. But
that would be unfortunate then.
I make a mental note of what he looks like.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then you are, after you put in the vault, you're headed back out to headed out to the lawyers. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Oh, sorry. Roger, can you give me a spot hidden roll?
I can make the attempt, certainly.
Nope. Perfect. Back in form. Excellent.
Do you think we should have spoken to the bank manager?
I'm wondering if changing banks.
Oh, that would work too. But I could imagine that a manager speaking to the clerk and saying, make sure you're not giving away important information might be just enough to get him to no longer, to not do what I suspect he's about to do.
Oh. Do you feel we should go back?
I do, rather. I mean, unless you think we should find another bank, which would be fine also.
Knowing that they have a plant here is so troubling. And Maud is just so unsure if it's just her own paranoia.
Or all of our paranoia.
Agatha, for crying out loud.
I think we should. One or the other. I could do either quite happily. But
do we have time to change banks for the appointment?
So it's probably 1 by now or so. You need your appointment's not till 3. Certainly you can move to a new bank if you want.
Yes.
Let's do that. Good. Yes. And you, I guess you didn't succeed on your
psychology
role, but I don't think Agatha is very subtle about, unless she is subtle because the statue is causing her to be subtle.
You can react to the statue suggesting that you should just keep it any way you want.
I think by now she's definitely has confidence in all of her friends, and more importantly believes that the idea of mind control of some object is no longer completely wacko.
I didn't realize Oswald was there. Oswald, can you give me a psychology roll?
Sure.
I mean, she's about to just say.
Yeah. I understand.
But.
43 is not going to do it.
Okay, that's fine. So yes, you're able to go back into the. I mean, this there's banks all around in the general neighborhood. It's not going to take you that long to get a new bank. So you're able to go in, take the two items out.
You should probably carry this the statue. I'm convinced that somehow it has some. Sounds so weird to say it, but some control over me. It seems like it's trying to get me to hold on to it.
Okay.
To the
yeah.
Past night, yes, I understand. Let's keep the box here.
Yes. Just I'm good.
Yes, and move the stuff to another.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're going to take the things out and put them into your bag so you're not carrying out the same box again.
Right.
Yeah. So that, you know, it's not obvious that you're taking the things out of the bank.
Yep.
That seems fine. Yeah. Not a problem to find another bank and set it up. Who's the signee for these? For this account?
I don't trust myself. Not me.
Oswald, do you want to be on here with me?
Sure.
I think it's important to have two of us after what happened. I kind of trail off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all able to get done in a reasonable amount of time, and you can make your way over to the law firm of
Bailey, Bailey, and Bailey.
Yes, Bailey, Bailey, and Bailey. Sorry. Had the page in my hand and then let it go.
Then we decided to do something else.
Yes, then you decided to go off on your own and do things and threw me off. Oh, whoa, whoa. Bailey, Finkel, and Witherby. You know, they're up in northern London in the heart of the legal quarter. There's a elderly man behind the front desk. Yes, that's what do you need?
We have an appointment with Sir Bailey for 3 o'clock. And I look at my watch.
Yes.
It's at Dame Agatha and friends.
yeah, just come with me, and at what appears to be an extremely slow pace, you make your way down the hallways there and get to his office. Opens up the door. Sir Bailey, your appointment's here. Bailey is there. He's sitting behind a fairly large desk in a very large office. And sitting in the chair is a man in his early 30s, wearing a plain and modest suit, who you absolutely recognize as Azur Erdin, the leader of the Children of Tranquility.
Oh.
And we will stop there.
So he's obviously the client.
Yes.
Okay.